Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Commander Ray.
And this week, we've watched Favorite Son, and now we're going to argue about whether it's going to make us quit Star Trek.
I would like to know why Star Trek is so obsessed with non-consensual pregnancy. Let's start there. Trip first, and now this. This is horrifying.
Technically, this was first.
Okay, so are we classifying them changing Harry into another species as pregnancy? I guess so.
They were going to kill him.
I guess that was actually just their cover story, which in itself was a bad cover story because he should have had more moral objection to that. He was like, oh, it's fine that you tricked my mother. New friends. Yes. Yay.
Like, okay, I see what you're saying. So in their cover story, they said that they've flown all the way across the galaxy and forcibly implanted this embryo in your mom. She thought it was your dad's baby, but it wasn't. And now you've genetically, because of genetic disposition, made your way back across the galaxy to home. So, and then that's obviously we know that's not true, but they were just going to kill them to steal their DNA so they could make more babies. Like, that's the part I never understood, because like, we see 13 women. Where are the rest of the people? Like, do they actually make other people, or are they just killing them?
Oh, I think it's that basically the reproductive process is fatal to men.
But what are they gaining from it? Just the continuation of the race?
Olivia, I hate to say this, but the continuation of the race is kind of like...
There's like 10 of them, John. They should just live out their lives.
10 of them we know of.
Well, fine.
Listen,
I guess
John supports women's wrongs. It's 1997. We only see... I don't support them. I just think... I'm against killing men for sex. I shouldn't have to explain that. I'm not weird.
That's a brave statement. Wow.
But like,
where are my notes from this episode?
Where are you? I should say something important to my listeners, to our listeners, which I should apologize because I've worked three 12-hour shifts. So I have watched 2/3 of this episode, and I quite frankly saw enough. But I watched it all on the train.
That's absolutely fine and valid, because as I was rewatching this, I was actively trying to forget it.
Did you finish it, Ray? At least, please tell us one
Absolutely.
Of us.
I've seen it lots of times. Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Well, when I watch an episode, there can be bad, not great episodes. But there's generally a takeaway from the episode, which is not per their story, but sometimes your passions are part of who you are. Like, he just was always an overachiever. He was always hardworking and ambitious, and they tried to claim those as reasons that put him in star travel, that made him want to come back across the galaxy. There are pieces and parts. I mean, you can kind of lean towards the familial nature of them wanting to get Harry back so far. I don't think it was a sense of duty. I think that they genuinely cared for him, and they weren't just gonna stand by and kind of say, oh, well, they took him, there's nothing we can do. So I mean, there's parts of this episode, I've seen it many times. I've been watching Star Trek since I was single digits years old, so for my whole life.
Do you remember the first episode you watched?
I don't remember the first episode that I ever watched, but the first episode that was like one of my favorite episodes was Measure of a Man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I really just, the relationship between Data and Picard over the decades, like up to Picard, is just probably one of the like top five strongest relationships in the whole franchise. Like, I just love them so much together. And that episode, he was like My favorite, like, Picard was willing on multiple occasions to risk it all to make sure that Data knew how much he cared for him and that other people knew that Data was his ride or die. Like, I love it.
I mean, Measure of Man is great, not just because Stewart and Spiner are great, but everyone is at peak performance. You know, Jonathan Frakes, the guy playing Maddox, Philippa Louvois, they're all just... It's one of those episodes where I don't think they waste a minute as well. Yeah. Every single moment on screen is doing something to prove a point.
Right.
And it's just... That's a good one to sort of be your first memory. I mean, to go to the other end... Do you remember the first time you watched Star Trek and went, oh, what is this?
What have they done?
What am
to
I
me?
Doing? Why am I here?
Alternatively, I mean, it was probably like Code of Honor is like, I think probably collectively one of the most racist, terrible episodes in the whole franchise. Like, it's just such a bad episode. And I actually had posted about it last year when I, probably in the first couple of months that I started like on TikTok. And like got into an argument with a couple of commenters, and like, here's the thing, I'm sure a lot of people, I mean, they don't know me from Adam, so they don't know that I've been watching Star Trek for 30 years and that I've seen that episode enough times to have done my research. And they tried to say just because they were Black, it was part of African culture, but the episode and the ideology in the episode is not based on African culture, it's based on Asian culture, specifically a subsect, which I did like a 4-part series. Was like, you guys didn't even Google this. Like, it's on the Memory Alpha page, it's on the Wikipedia page. You can explain through ancestry of Asian cultures how this passing down of physical goods and how women relinquish all of their power to the men. Everything is based on Asian culture, but they did it with Black people, which is the problem. They made them dress up in historically inaccurate, like what they considered African garb, and they had on headdresses and things like that. Like, you know, it's just such a bad episode.
They were meant to be lizards. This is the worst bit of Code of Honor for me. Still, that the original script, they were lizards, and they went, yeah, we can't afford to do lizards. We'll just... We'll just open up Yellow Pages and hire every Black extra in Hollywood and hope that nobody...
The only good thing about Code of Honor is that a lot of Black people got paid that day. That's right. All we can get from that.
Like, they're still collectively like, we hate that episode. We don't even acknowledge that we made it.
No one who worked on that episode has anything nice to say about it from like the bottom
writer, because that you I know actually what? Never
seen. We had this discussion on when we did it with Black Alert, which was godless.
I need them to be named and shamed in this moment.
Code of Honor. That was like that was the third episode of TNG, right? Fourth episode. So we have The Naked Now, which is also cursed. It was written by Catherine Powers,
Is this the same woman who does all the racist episodes?
Yeah, she did it. She did an episode on Stargate that was just as racist.
Yeah, it's literally the same woman. Okay, great. Fact that I recognize her name immediately is this.
Yeah. Oh, and then she was in the 70s, she was a big writer on a television show called How the West Was Won, which was obviously about genocide in the West a bit. So, like, it's pretty bad. Anyway, that's a pretty bad quitting moment. I mean, Code of Honor.
I mean, there are lots, and I'm sure you guys have talked about them if you've done 80 plus episodes of this, but Sub Rosa is such a gross episode. So gross.
Sub Rosa, it leans on the fringe of being so deranged it might be good, but it's just not.
Every time it pans to them standing at her grandmother's grave, and I'm like, skip, I'm okay.
There's no way that green smoke, terrible effects, could have ever made a profound episode. They didn't have none.
You're not grandma. Grandma's dead. They made television.
I don't actually love you. I just want to control you so I can siphon your life source. Like, okay. And you've been doing this for at least 4 generations of my family?
God.
Who are the omnipotent being? Like, where's the court at? Like, who do I file a case with? Because what?
The ultimate generational curse. I don't even remember that aspect of it. God.
Yes.
Don't bring Sub Rosa back to me.
That candle dude was doing that since like 16th century Scotland. Like,
yeah.
That's just not worth it.
Can I interject to make an official I Quit Star Trek announcement? Terry is in the queue.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Why is he in the
queue? Friend of the podcast, tell the Trekkie is in the queue.
And that he deserves to be exposed for that.
He deserves to be exposed for being a Tory.
Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, I'm very sorry. This was content for our 4 English listeners. We love you guys. Anyway, let's go to Sing's justice curse to the queue, like Harry committing war crimes.
He decides to release the chopper on an ostensibly innocent ship, which I thought was the coolest thing he's done in a while.
Yeah, this is the worst thing about this episode. It's from the opening moment onwards, Harry is cool.
Yeah.
And interesting and multifaceted. I love Harry. This is the important thing, is that I think Harry Kim is an interesting character because I failed to do anything with. Because he's a space cadet who gets dumped out at the edge of nowhere and has to figure out who he is. And they just do nothing with that.
Yeah.
Until
they
like
gave
season
him a clarinet?
7.
Isn't that
anyone
for you?
Can have a clarinet. 7-year-olds get clarinets. They don't like him. They give him back. But like,
but I you know, it's one way for him to try and get a promotion. This is the first time he's ever stood out, honestly.
I equate that to a similar thing that they did with Michael Burnham. Have you guys seen Discovery?
Yeah.
Okay. So when they had her commit, basically she defied orders. I mean, I don't personally consider it a mutiny because she didn't have the gas of anyone else on the bridge. She was acting alone. But when they had her mutiny, it was like, and she comes back from, before she does the mutiny anyway, when she comes back from the Klingon ship and she's in sick bay and she runs to the bridge and she's explaining to Georgiou, like, they're Klingons, like, we got to go or like fight back or whatever. And like, there's so much doubt. I just don't understand the doubt because she's clearly one of the most reliable people. She's always had her head on straight. You know that she wouldn't suggest or risk other people if it wasn't founded. And the same with Harry. So if Harry is standing there and he's like, oh, they're going to fire. So he takes control of the weapons, fires. And then after like a day, it's like been like 24 hours, they're like, well, we were researching and we saw that they were. It's like, but you didn't really have any reason to doubt him. He wouldn't have done so. It would have been so out of character for him to do that without suspicion. So I feel like the better thing to do in that case would have been to ask him what his reasoning was, and at that point do the log research.
I mean, isn't that what they do though? Because like Harry fires himself without warning, which in any situation is really dodgy, and then he's like, I did it because of this, and everyone goes, okay, we're gonna check that, but in the meantime we're gonna put you somewhere you can't touch any weapons.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't Janeway say something about, I respect your intentions but not your action or something like that?
She basically relieves him of duty.
Well, I'd release
him
of duty if
they
shot
the brig,
him. Yeah.
She sends him to sick bay.
I mean, that's more respect than he'd probably get from Kirk or Picard.
Or Kirk would definitely have an anger tantrum first.
Sisko would have punched him in the face. I mean, quite honest with you. He'd have done it. Like, there was some, like, remember the episode where Worf kind of committed a war crime?
Oh, that could be any.
There was a trial episode where Worf committed a war crime.
He fired on the ship.
The Klingon
council made it seem like he had killed a bunch of civilians.
Yeah, but the point is I'm making is that when at the end, Sisko's like, did you think there were civilians on their ship? And
like,
Worf's
like,
did you
check first?
And Worf's like, no, I didn't. I just fired because it was in front of me. And Sisko's like, basically, you piece of shit. Yeah, I don't think Sisko would be very happy, but I think, I mean, that's kind of the thing about Janeway, is she doesn't have an intense trust in her crew. Mm-hmm. Like, she trusts that Harry would have had a reason, and that's right. Something up with him. And what's up with him is that he's got spots now.
I thought he was becoming like the symbiont, the trill. I was that so confused. It didn't look like a disease. That's just one of the many easy Star Trek aliens.
Yeah.
When in doubt, just get some mascara, slap it on Garrett Wang, bang, alien.
Oh, so that's like the first time we see him then have one of his mom dreams, which,
Yeah, he's got alien chicken pox. You know, probably didn't get vaccinated, that's his fault.
Why would you call Harry an anti-vaxxer? Hasn't he been through enough? The defamation.
Would Harry be? No, Harry would get vaccinated. He would.
For sure.
Who on that ship? Well, Chakotay, we already know Roxanne Dawson and Roger Belcher were a bit dodgy, so like.
That would spread to their characters? Oh, no. But B'Elanna almost died as well, but she seems very relaxed about it. She's like, that's just
the main cast. The only one I think like wouldn't get the vaccine is probably Neelix. I think everyone else would get it.
I feel like Neelix is one of those people who didn't get vaccinated and somehow has never got COVID, and it's just kind of really irritating for everyone.
Completely infuriating.
Yeah, it's like, how?
He'd make a soup instead of being vaccinated.
Exactly.
And somehow the soup would make you immune, and we'd all be furious about it.
It makes you immune because you die.
The soup kills you, not the COVID. It's fine. I don't know if you are aware of this, Ray, but this is an anti-Neelix podcast.
I am
a Neelix apologist. I could go on for days. I love Neelix.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we're done.
I think he's a very misunderstood character. We're planning a Neelix, either like a main episode or an away mission, which is like a smaller segment of our podcast, the Acting Captain podcast, about Neelix. Like, I think he's a fantastic character. Because he's so layered. His character has dealt with so much trauma, and he exists and trying to avoid dealing with that trauma. Like, he seems very angsty, and at the beginning of the series, he's very jealous, but you see him going above and beyond consistently, even after he dies and comes back to life. He still tries to throw a party for everyone else. Like, I love Neelix. I think that there are a lot of layers to his character, but on the outward, like, yeah, he's annoying, but like, it comes from a good place. Like, he wants to help everyone. Even when B'Elanna was upset, I think it was an extreme risk, and he, instead of like everyone else was like, she's such a hothead, like, I can't stand her. He was like, if you need someone to yell at to take your anger out on, so you don't feel so alone, like, you can yell at me. Like, I think his character is so layered, and a lot of people get hung up on the fact that he's just irritating.
Do you want to say Olivia? Or shall I say? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's also he should also be on the sex offenders list. But
I mean, I'm going to say, I will admit, I haven't got to post-death Neelix yet. So
yeah, the bit where Neelix is dead for a bit is kind of, that's probably the most interesting Neelix episode. I think that's the episode where Neelix is actually really interesting. Because he's a very spiritual man, and then suddenly he dies, and there's nothing. And
I am truly like the most biased against Neelix of anyone. I really can't open my heart to him, but we'll see in time. I will try.
Kez is 2, but if even in her own society, she's about 17, so it's still,
he's basically Leonardo DiCaprioing it. He's dating 20-year-olds and he's 40. Oh, but that's okay. That's not okay. But
I do agree, he's got a lot more nuance. The Neelix isn't in this episode, so we shouldn't get distracted.
So
Harry, so they're going through the sector of space, having been attacked by these aliens called the Nassarians. And Harry's starting to recognize everything. And they get chased to this planet called, like, what is it? Tessari?
Teresa.
Mother Teresa. Oh, there was a pun there. I didn't even realize. Oh, that's nice. And apparently they're expected, sort of Bond style. And there's this white woman who's like, Harry's back, hooray. And Harry doesn't find this suspicious immediately.
Oh, she's like, do you know me? In a way, I do. I'm like, here we bloody go. Like, I really...
Oh, great.
Cedric, please.
It's like, you know when you're on public transport and you encounter somebody who's on a combination of so many things that it's difficult to decipher how what state they're in?
Yeah, and you see them coming down the alleyway of the train, you're like, fuck's sake.
Like, do I know you? In a way, I do. It's like, mate, please, I just want to go home. I don't want to hear about how vaccines are destroying our ability to have physical money. Please.
What?
Yeah, we have that's an actual experience I had.
Yeah, that did seem weirdly specific.
That was very specific. Somebody was telling me how vaccines are destroying our ability to use cash.
I don't even want to delve into that. Let's just accept that person was insane.
Because it's gross. I used to work in a bank and like people have no concept. I don't care where you are on planet Earth, like money is physically gross. It never gets cleaned and everyone touches it. So yeah, I mean, if I have to choose between never touching money again and not getting a deathly pandemic virus, I'm choosing never cash again. I don't know what the concept, I don't know why that we're fighting that.
To be fair, our cash gets cleaned, but that's only because that's because the manager dropped the cash box into the sink while it was running. So technically all that cash got cleaned.
Your money got drowned.
It's plastic money, Olivia. It's fine, remember?
Then this is why this podcast says invest in Bitcoin. That's true. Wow. That's
Olivia, I'm sorry. No.
I'm like, bring back the Star Trek NFTs.
Everybody loved those.
Oh.
Yeah. So then they go down to this planet full of women in dresses of various Gene Roddenberry
regalia,
who are very interested in Harry and not at all interested in Tom, which is very funny. I think their disinterest in Tom is the funniest part of this episode. So, and apparently, yeah, Harry's Superman in it. He's from another planet. He's got secret powers.
He immediately gets greeted by these very enthusiastic, let's call them women. Which, honestly, I know that men like to put up this front, but that didn't look enjoyable. A bunch of like 20 women groping you. That didn't look fun.
Like, I think he was uncomfortable, but because he saw that other guy, like it almost was like a peer pressure thing. He was
exactly.
Like, I don't actually like this, but if you're here, then maybe it's not so bad. Like, let me kind of check this out and see. And like, it really feeds into his like wanting to belong. Like, other than Tom, like he never really had that many other friends on the show. And kind of in the one episode where he gets sent back in time by accident, you can kind of see he was also a loner there. And so if you end up on a planet that says you're from here and we love you, like they're almost willing to like relish and worship you, like I think that would be hard to deny for anyone. But eventually he does come around. It was pretty quick kind of that he was like, honestly, this sounds terrible and I want to go back to my friends. I don't want to be here anymore. And that's when it gets really crazy that they're like, no, you can't leave.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a bit like being in a space, certain spaces, you know, certain queer spaces, certain black spaces, you feel really friendly and you realize they're actually kind of toxic.
100%.
Like, I've been in some parts of the African Caribbean society in at university were a bit toxic like that. It's like, oh, you people really don't like mixed race people, and that's really weird for British people.
Gosh.
Like, you guys have really dodgy attitudes to that. And I don't want to leave, but also you're going to basically, if I leave, I'm going to confirm your opinions on this. And, oh, you're just going to keep harassing me if I leave. Okay.
Well, then, I'm going
to... All I'm saying is I'm glad there was a pandemic for me to drop off of email lists.
Gosh.
But, there's that certain sense of it, is that
they're
trying so hard to make Harry belong.
As soon as you think he's about to give in to the weird, horny family, it does turn to him taking action against them. So, you know, good for Harry. Yeah. Don't just indulge the instinct to want to belong. Be yourself. Go ahead.
Yeah, and they're so weird that, you know, they say thank you by touching,
all of the physical touching was super weird.
It's kind of peak Gino vision.
Yeah, Gene would be fucking loving it. Even Tom was like, the hell are you doing, Harry? When he was like touching the woman's face, like, this is how we say thank you.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was like a leftover script that he had like written or contributed on before he died.
No, I feel like the main counterpoint to that is that when Gene wrote about sex, it was usually interesting.
Hey, when? later on it gets very
Genie. Once we get, I think the Ferengi is the line, but when Gene, like, you look at, like, Mud's Women is deranged, but at least it's kind of interesting.
That's true.
I don't think it's good. I just think there's, like, in terms of science fiction,
there's an actual science fiction element to it, not just sex.
Like, whereas sex vampires and sirens, to come back to it, Mud's Women kind of did that already.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot, and like, so somebody actually commented this maybe a month or so ago, that like people ignore the original series when they're like become Star Trek fans, which is, I mean, it's not true, and like other shows like avoid acknowledging that it existed at all. And I'm like, how could you even one say that's true when there is original series influencing characters in almost every franchise, or every series within the franchise? But it's like there's a lot of plots from the original series that get recycled into the other shows. So a harem, I mean, they're going to try and put that wherever they can.
I think there was a harem episode in every single episode of single Star Trek until Discovery. In fact, I feel like Lower Decks is going to do a harem episode at some point, as a pastiche. I feel like Discovery missed a bus by not doing a harem episode and just having it being, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of there were certain times I feel like Discovery lent on just going, guys, this Star Trek trope is fucked, and then kind of didn't do it. I'm looking right at you, Emperor Giorgio. I'm looking right at you, you fascist ass.
John, at least we got to see some fancy outfits. I don't know why you're so
hung up on the morals. I can see fancy outfits by watching
normal Star Trek. You're so hung up on the morality of it all. It's just, whatever.
DS9 had dress wipes. Those were cool. They had those dress uniforms that were white. That was great. I don't need to see bisexual danger. Actually, then again, that time Reese took that knife is hot. Anyway, moving on.
Exactly. Remember when Reese took that knife? There you go. We don't want to lose that.
But like, otherwise, yeah, harems. Are harems? Yeah, that's a question for you folks. Are harems part of Gene's vision? 100%. Email us at iquitstartrek@gmail.com and we will definitely put your email in the spam folder. Not because we won't read it, just because that's where we put stuff to store it.
I just feel like Harry, even, you know, he gets to see this nice new family, is really reacting too well to how creepy it is. These, like, the instinctive knowledge thing, the fact that they've messed with people's DNA and their genes. What are you doing? And the fact that they've tried to use his personality traits to manipulate him further, which obviously is something he wouldn't necessarily be aware of in the moment. It's like his talent for music is just down to this one thing that happened to him and was beyond his control. It's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
It's really weird. And he's just kind of fine with it. And also Janeway and the gang are kind of fine with it.
Yeah. They're like, why are they not freaking out? That's...
I mean, these are people who are trained to accept new species. So if... I mean, it's not impossible that they would believe that they have dormant DNA, because we've seen that in other series, that things happen as you progress through your life, that different things happen. I mean, they don't know it yet about Kes, but we saw in the first couple of episodes that her telepathic ability started to present itself. So as they accidentally, or thought they were accidentally, on the other side of the galaxy, and that he ended up on this planet, that he's actually part of their species, but it didn't start to present itself until he got closer, which is not exactly the same, but it's similar to the Enterprise episode, I don't remember the name, where they went to where the like home city was Urquhart, and as soon as they landed on the planet, the air started to transform them because it was in the atmosphere. So
that's a deranged episode.
Yeah, for sure.
That's deranged.
It's not unlike that.
I know that their love was one in a million, but if this was Spock trying to be whisked away from Kirk, he would be analyzing it to the T. He would not have even accepted their little intro talk before questioning.
I mean, Olivia, that's not a hypothetical. There's literally an episode where this happens.
Wait, who tries to steal Spock?
Well, it's a paradise syndrome. There's a one where the plant spores take over the ship and everybody beams down.
Is that when the flower tries to make Spock heterosexual?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Brilliant. Bring on that. Oh, and this episode gives us the gift of the future where marriage is only between a man and a woman. Oh, like, if you weren't enjoying the episode and then it has to give you that lovely message, like...
I'm trying to think about that. There must have been a moment when they were writing the script there where someone went, one of our gay people, and there was a sort of silence in the room as everyone looked at Rick Berman, and he sort of shook his head slowly like this.
Their concession was saying, like, they added usually between a man and a woman. That was Berman being woke.
The 90s were a bad time for everyone involved.
Oh.
You know, Bill Clinton was there. Diana, just bad.
And John wasn't in existence. Boom.
Moving on. So, I mean... I don't know if you remember the first time I watched it, Ray, but I remember the first time I watched this, and I was just the harem stuff. Like, when was the first point that you clocked that they were probably going to try and kill/impregnate/eat Harry? Because it's about here, just at the bit where they're doing the weird wedding, where I clocked that they're probably going to try and kill.
I mean, at that point, I'm sure he, like, you always kind of get the idea that maybe it was not voluntary, like he didn't have a choice. But I don't think until it got to the point where they walked in on the guy or they couldn't find him that something bad had happened, like that he was like dead, never to be seen again. I'm sure it would have, like, I probably would have assumed some type of imprisonment or like you can't leave, whatever.
I actually thought that guy had to have been in on it, because it seems to me it would make sense if they had one man who was always saying everything's going to be good, well, like this is the paradise. Like, they need that one man who pushes the dream.
Well, what they may have done, to your point, is if Harry hadn't walked in on them, they probably would have tried to go through the same process, which is we've got this guy and he kind of convinces him, like I was talking about before, like the peer pressure thing, and they kill that guy and they're like, oh well, he went to live with her and blah blah blah, like they just send them away because now they're pregnant, they're not in the circle anymore, and Harry's still there, and then they find another guy that has manifested all of these genetic traits, and that he comes to the planet and like, oh, now he encounters Harry. So it's kind of like a do-si-do, maybe. That's really the only thing that makes sense if they were. Otherwise, they probably would have just immediately killed them. Like,
they took their foot off the pedal too early there. Harry's love of Voyager wins.
Yeah.
100%.
Because then the wedding is really culty. It's proper, sure. Jamestown cult.
It's like a Freemason sex party.
But like, I mean, this is more sexy than the Masons, which is mainly old men and old men donating money to buy fire engines and get people off of libel cases. It's really fucking. It's the mafia of the mediocre, as my brother once called it. Yeah, the Masons don't tie guys up and then fuck them to death.
How do you know?
That's a good limit point. That's in their dreams. Point. If any of our listeners are Freemasons, please let us know whether you tie young
please
men
let
up.
Us know.
If you don't, that's fine. We accept that.
No, that's fine. You're accepted.
If we got a genuine invitation from the Masons to visit the hall,
have listeners who are Masons.
There has to be. They're not that like infrequent, like doing counts, are they? I just want, like, I think we should accept the invite.
I think, Olivia, are you saying that if we as a podcast get invited to a
yeah, if we both were invited, if I got invited to the Scientology Center, I'd take
that's around the corner from my work. I work around the corner from the Scientologists. They're really fucking annoying.
I just want to know what's going on in these places. Yeah.
For reference, guys, if anyone's ever in London and you go past Blackfriars Station, there's a bloody great building called Engineers Hall. It's not actually Engineers Hall. It's where the Church of Scientology is based in England. Ooh. And they're the most fucking annoying people. Because you're going into work at 10 in the morning on a Monday, and there's these blokes in suits going, "Are you stressed? Are you stressed?" And of course I'm fucking stressed. You're here. I'm trying to cross the fucking road.
That's horrible. I don't know. I've seen them in like Tottenham Court Road, but they don't usually say like, they wouldn't say like, "Are you stressed?" That's horrible.
Yeah, that's the thing. You do a 45-minute stress test. They tell you they're stressed and they tell you they'll fix it if you give them all your money.
Oh,
and that's why Tom Cruise isn't allowed to drink alcohol anymore.
Yeah.
It's also probably why he's so short, though. I think it's...
I told him he'd grow.
I walked past him once. It's kind of embarrassing.
Who?
Tom Cruise. You know when he filmed the last Mission Impossible in London?
Yeah.
I saw him. I walked past him when he was like prepping to do a jump or something. He is so small. And you're taller than him, Olivia.
I think he's like what, like 5'6", maybe? 5'7"?
Okay, yeah. I'm taller than Tom Cruise. Ha ha.
Like they put people in ditches next to him. Like they'll dig ditches or put struts so he doesn't look as small.
If Scientology is so all-encompassing, why is he still so insecure about it?
Why is he still so short? Why haven't they extended his legs?
He's like Gattaca.
If you could communicate with a god being, I think you can make Tom Cruise taller. That's all I still got to say. The Mormons would make Tom Cruise taller. They would. Maybe the Seventh-day Adventists might. Well, no. Who knows? But speaking of weird religious cult things, so the Doctor finds out that Harry isn't actually an alien. He just is a parasite, which basically everybody's kind of casually concerned about this. They're more concerned about the fact that the Theresians have basically told them to fuck off by putting up a massive barrier.
I also wondered, is this just happens to be the first time that there's been a society advanced enough to do some tests and figure out that it's not, like, figure out the lie?
I mean, I assume that whoever else they've gotten maybe doesn't come from, like, an organized starship. They might come from, like, freighters or other space travel vessels, but not, like, a formal like starship that has all the resources available to do this. It's not full of scientists. I mean, I assume that the other ships are probably not full of scientists that care enough, because let's say they do end up where their person, this man that they had, gets taken or introduced to them. I think she may have also had an inclination that they weren't going to let him stay. And it's possible that, like, let's say the other guy that was in that episode, whoever brought him there, whoever he was with before he decided to stay, was like, oh, okay. Like, maybe they're kind of, like, passing by. Like, maybe they're just, like, he kind of was a lone spirit, you know? Just said, hey, guys, it was a nice run. I'm going to stay here. These are who clearly I'm supposed to be with. He just is accepting it because... maybe he didn't have anyone who cared enough. But the crew of Voyager is like, first of all, we don't know you, we don't trust you, and we want our Harry back. And we're going to make sure we get him back. We're going to figure out how he became whatever this is you're saying. Because at that point, it had been a little while that they had been together on this ship. They're like, we had no indication that he was allegedly this other species, and we're not just going to take your word for it. Like, that, I think, is the biggest thing about it, is that they're scientists, doctors, engineers. They're like, how could this have happened? And when did it happen? Because if it's been all along, there should be markers. And when the doctor was like, look, I'm on the case. I'll figure it out. That's their biggest flaw. And I think that that's the part that they were like, they're not going to let him stay. These people really care about him. Let's put up the door.
I feel like I like the idea that this species preys on people who are just fucking deadbeats.
Right.
Wait.
Which is just like all cults, which is actually just makes me sad. Oh.
This is reminding me, though, of fucking Picard's slave Borg ending. was just searching for vulnerable people and offering them a new life, which is just absolutely predatory and not
the fun. Oh yeah, the bit at the end of Picard season two where they try the Jurati Borg thing's like, oh, it's cool, we just let people assimilate voluntarily, which, like, what?
Like, if you're depressed, we're going to assimilate you.
That's
no time to think about it. Oh.
We actually reviewed the Borg. I don't know. Do you guys, it's not like an indictment. Do you guys listen to our podcast?
I have listened to bits of it. And I've not listened to that episode. I'm trying to remember which one I've listened to. I would give you a profound answer if this wasn't my third glass of wine.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Because, like, the episode that I was like the acting captain for was the third episode where I had chosen the Borg, and we go like a crate, like an in-depth, I want to say that podcast, like our podcast is really long, but it is very analytical as well, about the Borg and the potential shift in the collective with Borgness at the helm now, and this not taking you whether you like it or not attitude, because it's like, first of all, we're going to assimilate you and your biological and technological advancements whether you like it or not, to this potential, like, we don't know if you want to join us, but we're going to go be doing Borg stuff, not actively killing and pillaging across the galaxy if you guys want to join us. Because of course we've seen where, like, what I said on the podcast is like the Borg technology itself was never the problem, because we've seen it heal people more than once. It healed Neelix when he was ill.
Oh, it healed Neelix? Never mind. Pretty bad.
Yeah, like the Borg technology itself is not a problem. It's the collective ideology. It was the brainwashing. It was the assimilating and stripping the people that they assimilated of their individuality that was the problem. And with Borgness, because we see so much of her left at the end of season two, it's not like she had an ocular implant. She had all of this other exterior tech that we're used to seeing with Borg, that I personally have hope for it. I mean, it is obviously saying, like, people who don't want to, and I think that that's maybe kind of a confusion of what they're saying. It's not like if you have nothing else to be, nothing else to do, nowhere else to go, you can join us, kind of like assuming the less fortunate throughout the galaxy.
That feels a bit.
Want to become a Borg.
Yeah, the problem is that it's clearly a statement and a concept that needs nuance and
for sure
development. And they're not going to do that, are they? No, because we know that Alison Pill isn't going to be in season three of Picard.
It's heartbreaking.
Unless they give Jeri Ryan her own show, which would be really, really cool. And
right,
knock on wood, they do that. But I don't trust these guys.
Well, I have absolutely no trust or respect for them.
I have no concept of trust in people who think that the Starship is Landing is a coherent and successful form of advertising.
I can't believe that turned out to be nothing. It's serious.
What was familiar? Our release schedule makes more sense than that.
Did a video about it, because when they changed it to the Enterprise, I made a video about it.
It was Starship and then Enterprise.
It's a themed week.
I mean, I don't spend that much time on StarTrek.com, if we're being honest. Like,
who does?
What am I gonna? One of my mutuals had posted it. That they had changed it to say the Enterprise's landing, which, like, of course is obnoxious and ridiculous because it can't do that. But I got 200 comments, a lot of comments, and half of them were like, but the saucer section and the Defiant and Voyager. I'm like, first of all, I'm not going to do this. And I switched it to Friends only because I was annoyed. But, like, it's just not, like, it's just, whoever is in the marketing department of that website is like, let's just put the names of the ships on something, even if it doesn't make sense, which is like, I would never buy merch from them for that.
I just have to assume that the people, like, there's a shared marketing department in Paramount, and they just don't really know what's going on in Star Trek.
Every time I look at the Paramount marketing department, I increasingly realize that it's just fucked. Must just be completely fucked. They must just keep firing people. You know, have you ever been to a restaurant where it's quite clear that that no member of staff has worked there for more than about 6 weeks?
Yeah.
That's my
feeling. Yeah, I mean, those are the same people that are responsible for the Paramount Plus TikTok page. It's like, how are you guys so much worse at advertising one of the longest television and movie franchises in media in general? That, like, how are we doing a better job at advertising the franchise than you are? Like, why aren't...
Famously, we owe nothing to anyone who's ever made Star Trek. Because they just fail us consistently. So, like, you know, it's to quote the best, the bit in, you know, the bit in Arrested Development where Michael Bluth pulls out the bag that says dead dove, do not eat, and he opens the bag and there's a dead dove in it, and he just goes, I don't know what I expected. That's right. The Trek community. Every time Star Trek tries to do anything, the Paramount tries to do anything, is that we open the bag that says dead dove, and we look at the dead dove. Like,
it's just so clear that they have so many things that were lined up and that were similar and that they've seen fail, but they've consistently had to keep releasing these things, like the NFTs that keep recurring, these like action figures that aren't really very different to anything we've already got.
Literally everything to do with fan sets.
Yeah.
Fuck those guys.
Fuck fan sets, please.
You're just tedious. Beyond basically destroying local, like, individual fan creators and stealing art, and, well, that's iffy, and I'm not going to get into that, or like, using your copyright strike powers to crush anyone who does anything you think you might do. Your customer service is terrible. You just cuss people out on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this is specifically fan sets, yeah.
Yeah, fan sets. Like, come on, guys. If it's too hot, get out the fucking oven. I don't know what the phrase is. Anyway. I just hate them. Man. Remember when Starship was like a fringe thing and there wasn't all this corporate nonsense around it?
Yeah.
Somehow, 5 years ago somehow.
I don't know what I missed because it cut off for me.
Basically, like 5 years ago, Star Trek, like... all of this Paramount nonsense has basically come since the CBS-Paramount merger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before that, it was kind of like, hey, Star Trek's back on television. That's nice. Anyway, CBS, but like, it was mainly promoted by Netflix for the first Discovery for the first couple of years.
I've never seen Discovery be promoted.
When season one came out on Netflix, it was promoted everywhere.
Well, the first two seasons were television release. Only, I think, like, halfway through season three, they switched it to only being on Paramount Plus. Like, at the season break, it switched to only Paramount Plus.
And we found out season four wasn't going to be on Netflix in the UK a week before it aired.
Yeah. I honestly still haven't seen season four properly, because I...
To be honest, that feels like punishment for something. Probably Indian partition.
It's a spiritual retribution.
It's a spiritual retribution for, like, I'll roll down the list of colonial crimes. This is that one. Yeah.
We'll I feel as though I shouldn't be part of the suffering for that. But
yeah, I feel like neither of us should be part of the suffering for that. But yeah.
We're here.
Maybe we got thrown up with the bathwater. Anyway, Harry getting sex vampires. Where were we? So the other bloke has been eaten by the sex vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it, it's not like he's dead. He's a corpse. It's just a skull. Yeah. It's horrible.
So,
yeah.
I don't understand what they are. These aren't like the salt vampires. The salt vampires are from TOS, aren't they?
Yeah, it's not a salt vampire, no.
I don't remember what they are. I don't know.
They're just called salt monsters. They were just called salt monsters.
Okay. Yeah, the poor guy's a little dehydrated.
Yeah. He's definitely... I mean, effectively dehydrated. Like, he's nothing but dust, basically.
Whoopsie daisy.
And does it go from there? Okay, now we're coming on to the greatest scene of all time. Are we at the point where Harry's finally had enough yet?
Yeah, he runs away being chased by women. Olivia, have you ever watched the Monty Python The Meaning of Life?
I have not. I apologise to all I've let down.
So the ending of Monty Python The Meaning of Life involves a scene where a man is chased through an industrial estate and off a cliff by a bunch of women.
Wow.
Because the point is that he's chosen, the gag is that he's chosen his mode of death, and his mode of death was chosen as being chased by a bunch of women off a cliff.
He okay. chose that?
Yeah, as punishment for his crime.
That was appealing to him? Okay. I'm sure out of many options, it could have been the best.
It's Monty Python, so it's just deranged. This is the same film in which a man explodes because he eats too much.
That seems to make more sense.
Yeah. You know the universe song? I'm not going to sing it.
Sing it incomplete. Anytime anyone mentions a song,
I'm not going to sing it. Just look it up. Any of the listeners who are the same physical age as I am spiritually, 50, will know what I'm talking about. But essentially that, like Harry being chased to his death by a bunch of women with sticks. That's Gene's vision, I think, is Gino vision.
Yeah, you know what? That's the one shining jewel of this episode. This is Gene's vision incarnate. There are many points in which I was like, this is going back to the roots of unhinged Gene. Yes, it wasn't as sci-fi, but it was pretty unhinged. We get BDSM yeah. Harry.
This episode, you know what? This episode would have worked if it was Chekhov instead of Harry. It would have been funnier as well.
Chekhov would have stayed.
You're not wrong.
Chekhov would have stayed, which would have made it even funnier when, like, okay. this random guy turns out to be dead. He's like, it says in his bad Russian accent, oh, no.
He's like, he doesn't even accept that it's part of the issue. He's like, oh, that must have been a separate incident. I'm going to still stay. It's fine.
And then he has to get rid, like, Spock and Kirk have to be like, Mr. Chekhov, those aliens were going to suck all your life force out of you. And Chekhov goes, I don't see a problem with that.
You know who else would stay?
Sulu.
Geordi.
Geordi would stay. Geordi would stay.
Geordi would not have stayed.
No.
Geordi. No. They give Geordi a girlfriend. They gave Geordi three wives. Geordi's staying.
Okay. Geordi, as we understand him, would not have stayed. Geordi, as the writers understood him, would have stayed.
Yeah.
Like, this is, remember the writers thought Geordi reading through a dead woman's diaries was
cute. Yeah. I cannot stand that episode. He did fall in love with her through her journals, and then he eventually met her, yeah.
Which I feel like that's a fanfic trope, isn't it?
For sure.
There's like 5,000 of those in AO3. Not an excuse, though. Not an excuse, Star Trek writers. You can do. Aquiel should have been a good episode, but simply refused to be one. It simply refused. It just wouldn't.
And then we have a scene where Harry's being fed. Is he being fed honey? Because I wrote down honey, and I'm not sure if that's.
I'm going to go with honey. Yeah.
Yeah, he's being fed all anointed with honey in bed, and he says this weird thing where it's like, "Oh, are you going to tuck me in?" It's an Earth custom that mothers usually do for their children, and it's like.
Let's not kink shame Harry Kim.
Throughout this episode, there's weird mum kink thing going on that it's never fully addressed. I don't really want to address it, but it's there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have a note. Gene is loving this. Of course he is. And then they decide to put the dreams into overkill, which really just,
yeah,
it's great to see. Yeah.
So bad. And fucking, he has to run away and he gets like murdered by all these people before Voyager rescues him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they almost had him sequestered. They almost had him until they finally got beamed up.
Do you see that badass roll he does backwards off the bed to get away with them?
Garrett Wag is very good in all of this.
He's a chaste king.
And you know what? This is the most interesting of characters for the rest of season 3 and possibly most of season 4.
Yeah.
Are we really not going to address the fact that he like tries to BDSM tie them up though? Because I feel like that deserves full discussion.
They were going to do it to him.
No, he's like, I can't fight genetics, but I'll try. Which is,
To be fair, they were literally going to tie Harry up BDSM and then have sex with the death.
No, I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying it's hilarious.
It is.
And then he lamps someone.
He does lamp someone with a lamp. as you're at in the highest tradition.
It's great. This is where, like, I was getting bored as I was watching the episode, and then the unhingedness starts, and I'm back in it.
The whole end of this episode is just incredibly unhinged.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's what it's meant to be. This is what Star Trek is for: unhinged sex-related plots.
And it does feel like they almost tried to do a message, because there's like, he starts talking about his identity and like how he appreciates having a new identity. But then it's ruined because at the end, there's this weird conversation he has with Paris where it's like, I kind of wanted to be like how you are with women, more confident. And then Paris says, oh, if you were like me, you'd have jail time. And I was like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
It just, in the context of what they were discussing, it sounded weird.
It loses its way, for sure. And it kind of shows, like, even though he's still, like, he ended up back on Voyager where he wanted to be, he still kind of felt left out. Like, that's the saddest part. It's like, you belong here, but he doesn't feel like it.
And
yeah,
he has been overlooked for quite a while. What season is this? 3? Is it normal for him to be promoted at this point?
So here's the thing. I've talked about this because, like, I'm not happy that he didn't get promoted either, but the way that the command structure works, his physical rank, like, if they had given him another pip, it wouldn't have changed his duties at all. He was still the senior officer. It was simply symbolic. But you can't have more than one lieutenant in the chain of command. And Tuvok and Harry are in the same chain of command in operations. And
I mean, so even can, though he you, got you can, though.
When have you ever seen that?
They're in different departments at all, so. Tuvok's a security.
Operations is one department.
No, but
still one department. Security is part of the operations department.
The operations department is not a real department. There's no reason that security people, shipboard marines, and engineers should be doing the same thing. They do completely different jobs. There's no circumstance in the real world.
I'm not saying they're not different jobs. I'm not saying that they're not different jobs.
They're not cross-trained. They shouldn't be related to each other in terms of the chain of command. Okay, sorry, this is a Patreon topic, so I'm getting off.
This is a John niche, and I'm gonna still have my ship talk drop.
Yeah, it's on there somewhere. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ray. This is something that sets me in the long term. I suspect you're right in terms of Voyager. I just don't think that engineers and security people should wear the same color.
What other color would there be? There's only 3 colors. There have only ever been 3 colors.
I would put the security people in the same. This is the point, which is that TOS put security engineering the same colors. They shouldn't have. And here we are.
TOS.
But where would you put them though? Because they're not.
I would put security. I'd do what the Wrath of the Monster Maroons do and have more colors. Because if you're running through a ship and you grab someone in red and say, "I need you to fix something," and they go, "Sorry, mate, I'm a security man. I know how to shoot people." You'd be like, "Great, you're useless to me." You want to be able to tell. That's why you have ranks and your division colors. You don't want a bloke who's trained to shoot a Klingon at 300 yards.
I say, put the security ship in some like sexy black leather, and then we'll.
But who on the ship doesn't know what everyone does? They all know what everyone does.
They all know what everyone does, but they aren't all trained to do everything else.
That's the point.
Yeah, like, so if you run up to it,
if you work on this ship for years, you know that Tuvok is not an engineer, regardless of the fact that he wears the same color as B'Elanna. You know that's not his job, so you would never go to him and ask him for engineering help.
Yeah, although you wear uniforms so that you can do it with people you don't know. That's why you have rank designations. That's why you have...
Okay.
It's not, you know, this isn't actually important because this is fake people in a fake show. Fake people. I just think Harry should have got a promotion because they could just pay him or give him a bigger room.
Give him a pip and I'll have a pip in his step. That's what I say. Go on, Harry.
Anyway. Once again, Olivia keeps the peace. Save Star Trek, Olivia.
Save Star Trek. Just, I've become my own enemy. We need to give this trip, Nibs, because
we haven't done the trivia yet.
Oh, we haven't done trivia yet.
You want to know the worst bit of trivia? I think it's the best. In the original script, they were going to keep Garrett Wang as an alien. He was just going to be an alien. He was going to be interesting, everyone.
So he was going to just have that as his actual backstory.
He's going to have spots for the rest of the series.
But that means the terrible stuff about tricking the mothers was real.
Yeah, no.
But I think having Harry Kim find out that he wasn't actually who he thought he was might have been interesting. It meant that it had like, oh, well, there were Harry Kim episode about finding out more about his culture and how the people who were going to kidnap him for sex weren't actually the true part of his. I'd have done interesting things with it.
You guys are pro this storyline that they would have kept him as a Taurisian.
I'm pro that concept, anti the storyline in general.
I just think they should. I mean, make Harry interesting, but at what cost? I don't want to see him be a random alien like three seasons into the story.
Yeah, according to Garrett Wang. Some bigwigs looked at it and went, more sex, more action, and suddenly it became convoluted. The arc wasn't clear. They added in vampire-like blood-sucking women, more, and they didn't go
sex,
all the way.
More action? Was this Daniel Martinico?
It's called Daniel Martinico.
He got hired after he wrote that letter.
He wanted slime. He wanted alien sex. He demanded alien sex. And you know what?
It's what he deserves.
It's what he got. No. I think there is, you look at the trivia and people like talking about like Harry Kim had a lot of development here and they wanted to add more color to him and stuff. And you realize that everybody wanted this to be a really good Harry Kim episode and it just wasn't. Oh, here's a good Garrett Wang quote. He didn't like the design of the Taurisian females. Is that they went with these matronly women with no sex appeal instead of babes like dressed like I Dream of Jeannie. Apparently he wanted everyone to be dressed like I Dream of Jeannie.
What's that?
You've never heard of I Dream of Jeannie?
No. What's that?
It's an old show.
It's a show where an astronaut falls in love with a 2,000-year-old woman.
Yeah, she's a genie. But she conceals her identity and falls in love with like an earth mortal. And he eventually finds out that she's a genie.
This looks insane and probably racist.
It was a well-received show. I mean, it was on for a long time and they did a movie called Bewitched. Kind of as a play on that.
Bewitched is kind of a play. Bewitched is better though.
Yeah.
Bewitched is actually quite enjoyable. Whereas I Dream of Jeannie is just very 60s.
Looking up I Dream of Jeannie and kind of watching a couple of episodes. I mean, it's an interesting show.
The fit looks fire. Oh, wow. This looks incredible. Incredible scenes.
Yeah.
I must look into it.
It's kind of peak Geno Vision. It's of that 1960s era.
Yeah.
It looks pretty camp.
It's high. I think it is high. It's one of those high camp shows.
If they had made them look like in those like two-piece nonsense, that would have honestly made this episode way worse. Like the fact that they just had them in kind of like togas or whatever those dresses were kind of gave it an air of, it didn't look as slutty. I should say that. I think it would have been real, real, like way campier than Voyager is as a series to all of a sudden have genie costumes. Like, what is this?
They would have.
I think it deserved that high camp, though.
You can't have the amount of touching they had as well as the tiny outfits.
Yeah.
There would have been a HR incident.
Yeah, no, the genie costumes would have passed for an episode like this in The Next Generation because it was so like, There was at least one to two really like that was a leftover original series script and like the first like five seasons of The Next Generation like that could have passed with genie uniforms in that series, but I don't think so in Voyager.
I think Voyager deserved to have a couple of deranged episodes, like properly deranged, not just like what are they thinking, but oh, they thought they were doing something and it was really bad.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, Faces. What am I saying?
Is that a fun deranged? I've heard them about fun deranged.
Oh no, fun deranged, yeah, they did. Cat say the one with the rock, that's fun deranged.
It was boring though when I actually came to watch it.
I didn't hear, what episode did you say?
The one with the rock.
Tsunkatsu,
Tsunkatsu, yeah.
Yeah, it's deranged, but also nothing happens.
Right.
I was so like ready for some madness, and then you just see 5 seconds.
The one where she deletes the wife is kind of deranged in a fun way.
I haven't seen that yet. That's iconic.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. You just put off watching the rest of Voyager, haven't you, Olivia?
I emotionally am unable to complete Voyager. I think when Susie comes to London, it's going to inspire me to continue Voyager.
I'm going to make a note of that.
Where have you stopped on Voyager?
You didn't even get to seven yet.
I've been trying to watch Voyager since.
You haven't watched any of it. You haven't got to seven, you've watched nothing. What?
You barreled through DS9 with the, like,
I didn't ever take a break from DS9.
You watched DS9 at a faster rate than I watched MASH, and I watched MASH in 4 months.
Yeah, I did not ever take a break watching DS9. I was watching like multiple episodes a day. Then I went immediately to go watch Enterprise and Voyager at the same time. And I went into the Enterprise like 2 seasons in, and then Voyager, I was still in season one, like 2 years later. Yeah. Oh well, it's fine. I'll be back. I'm on season like 4 now, I think.
So, fun fact, in the virtual Voyager sub-game of the Star Trek Voyager Elite Force game, 7 of 9 mentions that Tom Paris has written a holonovel program called Man Slave of Teresa.
Stop. Immediately no. Wow.
Why? I mean, it does seem like something he would write. He's like, that planet that you almost got killed by, Harry? I wrote a holo novel about it. Yeah,
Tom Paris writes RPF fanfic.
I need the Star Trek writers to stop introducing fanfic storylines.
They invented them, Olivia.
And they should have stopped. And then is it not the mission of this podcast to end Star Trek? So there you go. I'm simply fulfilling my duty of quitting.
I guess. Are we to the scale? I think we're to the scale.
We do need to tripnip this. So the tripnip scale is a scale of cursiness based on the unexpected episode of Enterprise, where Trip becomes pregnant. So if it's very cursed, we're going to give it 10 tripnips. If it's a little bit cursed, we'll give it 1.5.
Okay.
You know? And I think, based on the dreams, based on the touching, and the vampires themselves, I'm going to give it a solid 8.
Hey, I was going with 8 too. Because I don't think anything deserves a 10, but this can get an 8.
Something's got to deserve a 10. Who deserves a 10?
The Paramount Plus marketing department.
There we go.
Trip getting pregnant and growing nipples on his wrist being a 10? This isn't a 6. I don't think it's that bad.
6.
Again, I have seen every episode of Star Trek, so I don't think this is that bad. I think it's definitely a 6. I've seen way worse episodes.
I think there are worse episodes. I'm just happy to be mean to all of them.
The specific scene, even like within 60 seconds, could take it to a 10 on the tripnip scale.
I've been
kind and reserved to them. They made me watch Harry. No, she was going to say something. Never mind. They made us
find out about Harry Kim's mummy cake. So, you know what? Yeah. I didn't need to know about this. Yeah. He wants to be tucked in bed at night.
What was that? I'm upset again. It's 10. No, I'm kidding. Oh. But does he have an average there?
Back 8, 8, 6. 8, 16, 22/3, 7 on a bit. So it's like 7 nipples. You got 3 nipples on one arm, 4 on another, and on the arm with 3, there's a little bit popping out the top. It's cursed.
Great visuals.
Everybody, please enjoy the visual. Do not consume this podcast while eating or queuing to see Her Majesty the Queen's coffin.
I hope we should send Terry some episodes to watch while he's in the queue.
Yeah, we should do a live podcast from the queue.
I told you to do the live podcast from the queue, and you denied the people and you denied your queen.
I'm Irish. I don't want to. The queen owes me nothing except some gin. I don't know. Why is the pretender to the throne of Greece on the BBC?
Who the hell even is that? I don't know what this is.
Oh, I don't know. That's not relevant. This isn't a monarch. This isn't monarch. This isn't I quit. This isn't I quit the Windsors. Which I would quit the Windsors.
I hope it was on the record that I told John we should do a 24-hour live I quit Star Trek special from the queue. Wow. And was denied.
I had to go to work.
I also said that I wouldn't be there and I would be there on Zoom. So
I don't like the Queen. I don't like the monarchy at all.
And let's just clip that and send that to the Home Office.
So let's move on to talk about high art.
Oh, beautiful. It's very hard even to get into the high art mindset, having just experienced
this. I'll have a go. So, Ray, Tripnitz is our rating of worst. So high art is our rating of... I'm going to start with the word best, and we're going to see how I go as I describe options for the high art, which is masks.
Masks is high art, yes.
Okay. Spock's brain.
Of course. Arena.
Amok time,
100% high art. What's from TNG that's high art?
The Royale is high art.
No, what's the Royale? Go on. Which
one? The Royale is the one with the casino on the planet, which Riker and...
I don't want you to dilute my high art list.
It's the one where Data goes, baby wants a new...
I like baby's that getting episode, a new pair of shoes. But I have heard people don't like that episode.
They're wrong.
There needs to be a level of absurdity, and I just need to make sure...
Data gambles with a Texan, man.
100%. That episode, it's the only structure on a planet that doesn't support life.
What else is what other TNG
as absurd as it gets?
What other TNG episodes are high art? Every Luxana episode, even the bad ones.
Period. 100%.
Yeah, you know what? She's camp and she slays. So yeah.
So would you like to present to us a high art episode of your choice?
A high art episode. Okay, this might be cheating, but I'm gonna go with it's a Short Trek episode, actually. The one with Aldis Hodge.
With all the what?
Aldis Hodge. Short Trek. Aldis.
It's a Short Trek?
Yep.
I've never seen any Short Treks. In the UK.
They're fantastic.
Are they? They're not even on Paramount Plus here.
They're really difficult to get.
Why the fuck are they so hard to find?
They're on here. Calypso. It's
amazing. Calypso is high art.
Absolutely.
I feel like that's too genuinely good to be high art. High art is like
really
stupid.
High art has to be a little bit deranged. Like masks is not a
like good that's episode. Just genuinely good okay. episode. I think I've seen that one.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with Clips, because it's actually
not
really good.
I don't think masks and Spock's brain aren't genuinely good.
Okay, well, if we're going with sort of obnoxious, then I'm gonna go with Spock Amok.
Hell. Yeah.
Spockamock is perfect high art.
Yeah.
I just watched that also.
It's my favorite episode of the first season.
I remember watching Spock because I watched it with screeners for TrekCon. I remember watching Spockamock and going, I can't talk to anyone about this.
For sure.
This is a problem.
Oh, I love them.
It was so deranged. Good. It's completely ridiculous. Like, as soon as they Freaky Friday, I was like, this is amazing. Whatever the rest of this episode is, I'm here.
No,
I really thought that Spock did that on purpose.
For me, it was M'Benga wearing
the fisherman's hat.
Yeah, he's wearing the Henry Blake fisherman hat.
Okay, being like, I need it on the record. Yes. That is the ugliest hat I've ever seen in my life.
Of course it is. It's a fisherman's hat.
It's a fisherman's hat.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to go with Spock and Mark. It's so good.
I will accept it into the Hall of Fame.
But yeah, so... We did quit, right? I can't remember. Are we quitting this episode?
I mean, I'm not going to quit it.
I mean, this is not quitting in the sense of I'm going to stop watching this. But would this episode make you close your laptop afterwards and go and do something else?
Probably not.
It made me do it the first time I watched it.
I don't think I'm feeling inspired to quit. I'm just it's so, I'm just trying to forget the experience without making an indecisive action. That's how bad it is.
So yeah, like I said, like that, like when I weigh it against all the other episodes that like are firmly on my skip, this is not even in the top 10.
So basically it's a not quit by default.
Yes. Sure.
Which is my favorite way to win. But
hell yeah.
That was, yeah, so that's man, I really wish they made Harry Kim interesting. They just refuse at every step to make that man interesting.
I mean, like, his writing was really bland, but that was only because they were, like, the audience of the show convinced them not to fire him. Like, it got leaked that Rick wanted to fire him when he fired Jennifer, so they could bring in Seven, and then they were going to bring in someone else, like, they were going to pick up a crew member, whatever. And but people like Garrett, like they liked the character Harry, and so they kept him, but they just didn't write for him. It's like, okay, well, that still doesn't do any, that doesn't help anyone. Like, his character had a lot of potential, and they just were like, Rick was like, I don't, if I can't get rid of him, I'm not gonna write for him. I'm like, okay,
it's Voyager is just such a big swing and a miss, just from start to finish. It's just a big swing.
I'm sorry, the series is a swing and a miss?
I'm also, we are very anti-Voyager podcast. I'm trying to be inspired by Voyager. Well. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm actually upset that I don't like it.
Here's the point with Voyager. I think Janeway is brilliant. I think Kate Mulgrew is brilliant. I think Robert Doug McNeil as Harry Kim is brilliant. As Tom Paris is brilliant. I think Harry Kim is brilliant. I think Ballada is brilliant. I think Seven is an exceptional character. But it simply is not greater than the sum of its parts. They dump these people. We'll
firmly disagree at this point.
Yeah, that's fine. We are adults.
I'm just saying.
This is a TikTok comment section. We're sensible.
Right.
But I really like all the characters and the concepts, and then they dump these people out of the in the back of Beyond and abandon them all the way away from their home and their support systems and nothing. There's no relationship between them being at the back of Beyond, away from everything that matters to them, and just continue as normal. Like, even in this episode, when Harry's finding his place, there's no mention of the fact that, of him going, like, I have a home, and I've gotten to it. You know, I don't have to wait 70 years to get there. I've gotten there already. And then what that would mean, that's just not relevant. And it should be. And that's kind of what I mean, but it's that there's so many points to make these interesting points about relationship with home and getting there and whether you'll ever get there and what it means to you. And Voyager just continues to not really, it doesn't talk about it.
I don't think that it needs to, because I think that they actually, they show them growing as a crew and as a family throughout the series.
I don't think it's one or the other. I think you could do both, be the family thing about, you know, what the great Kirk line, you know, sometimes the journey is home.
I mean, like, think about it like this, like, Picard never once said that he actually cared or let alone loved Data until his last episode after 30 years. That's he true. Never said it. So, I don't think it has to be said, because the acting carries the relationship. He stood up for him. He fought for him. He was his advocate when he needed to be. And you can absolutely see that within the series. Whenever push came to shove, Janeway was willing to put herself on the line for her crew. If there isn't something that says I care for you more than action, I don't require the words for it. Like, that's just me. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that I don't need them to exposition it for me if they're showing me.
No, that makes sense. Olivia, do you have anything to say?
I just once again reiterate my point that I will try to open my heart to both Voyager and Neelix. Is that what I'm pledging this episode? This is a lot to ask of me. But
it's worth it, I promise.
We'll see how it goes. I need to get back into my consistent trek watching.
And thanks for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. Please plug while Olivia tries to think about how she's going to be nice to Neelix.
Sure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the invite. I'm mutuals with Susie. So when you messaged me, I didn't realize it was you. And I was like, this is the person Susie tagged. So I'm glad that you asked. I go by Lieutenant Commander Ray. That's LT.COM.RAE on TikTok, no periods on Twitter. And if you guys like Star Trek, which I assume you do if you're listening to this podcast, I also have a podcast with five other Trek talkers called the Acting Captain Podcast, available where podcasts are found.
That's great. And if you like that podcast and you want to support this podcast instead, that's just, that would be mean. Go support their podcast too. If you want to support us more, you can follow us on Twitter at Quit Star Trek Pod. You can email us at iquitstartrek@gmail.com. I don't know how that counts as supporting us. Send us an email that says you guys are doing great. We'll send you an email back saying thanks. Why don't you listen to these other podcasts? They're cool too. I've made an auto reply that does that.
Amazing.
Support us on Patreon. We covered the one with the whales with podcast instigator Patrick, the man who started it all. We spent very little of that talking about the film because I couldn't watch it because I was working. We also made Olivia watch MASH, which
Which was great, and I would like to get into some more MASH. I'm now thinking I have to do it under your guidance then.
We'll do some MASH for this month on the Patreon. I'll give you a
Well,
list.
it's time for me to watch The Visitor. That is going to be some new Patreon
Oh
content.
my
I
gosh.
have not
Olivia's
seen
never watched The
Visitor
Visitor. Who
ever. Oh
had a
my
go at
God, I'm
you?
so
Who was it
excited
who
for
had a go
you.
at you for not watching The Visitor?
I tagged J-Ban because I thought it was part of
J-Fan
our
Sitters has
like
had a go at you for not watching
I
The
thought it was
Visitor.
part of our long like our long-term banter, and then I got roasted by J-Ban. So
Also, J-Fan Sitters, if you're listening to this podcast, please read The Edge of Midnight. I know you'd love it. Please help us. Anyway, that
read
was
that
Sycophants.
and forgive me for my
Yeah, mainly
trespass.
forgive Olivia. I don't care about me. I can be sad and lonely and unpublished. Anyway, where was
But
I?
yeah, that is
Also,
some
Patreon. Buy our shirts, because money from our shirts goes to the Trevor Project charity,
Yes.
which is good. Our shirts are also better than any Starship is Landing promotion, and they can't sue us for them because it's just words with fonts.
Haha, take that.
Go fuck
Yes.
yourself. Not you, audience. I meant the Paramount IP lawyers. They can get fucked. But yeah, thank you so much. And until next time, don't get fucked to death by a sex harem in the Delta Quadrant. Don't do it, kids.
Just don't do it.
Just say no. You can always say no to the Delta Quadrant sex harem. Bye, everyone.